Gaming Podcast. It has been a long time since I talked to you, and there is really no excuse for that. I'm Kate Kusser. I'm the managing editor of Lookout Landing. I have a laundry list of excuses for why we haven't recorded in so long, but I'm not going to bore you with any of them. We haven't recorded. Part of it is, though, that John has been very busy. So joining me tonight is... Boo, John. But joining me tonight is not John, but a second in command. Anyway, it's an alternative, John. It's an alternative, an alternajohn. That sounds horrible. That sounds like something they sell on late night television.
Sounds like anyway, very 90s. Yeah, alternajohn.
The alternajohn. Yeah. I think he was a VJ. Anyway, it's Eric Sanford, staff writer. Hello, Eric.
Hey, how's it going?
How are you?
I'm great. It's very hot, but I'm cowering in my basement, so I'm like literally a basement blogger.
Literally in the basement. Yes, nice.
Trying to stay cool.
I wanted to go to the basement because it's the one area of the house that is cool, but my whole setup is up here. Mm. So sadly, right before we started recording, the last thing I did was turn off my fan. And I am already beginning to regret everything. So
the sacrifices that you make for this blog, I tell you.
It might be a short podcast tonight. we're such wimps here. Like, I lived in Philly for almost a decade. Like, it was horrible. I mean, it was just humid. Like, you were just, like, swimming in your own soup all the time. Disgusting. Completely disgusting.
So you got used to it, and then the AC is pretty much everywhere, right?
Yeah. Well, I was broke, so I did not live in places with AC. Like, my one place did have AC, but I couldn't turn it on because it was too expensive to run. So
dang. That must have been rough.
it was really, I mean, it's just mean. Like, it's too hot in the summer, too cold in the winter. So yeah. I know that I should not be a privileged whiny baby and whine about the heat in Seattle, because it is probably one of the very few places in the country that is actually acceptable right now. Yeah, I believe I saw one of our Arizona Fall League prospects or Arizona prospects tweet that it was 114 on the field today. So
that's absolutely insane.
I know. So we'll suck it up and we'll soldier on. Eric, yep. I know that you are a great connoisseur of beers and things. I am just drinking a tangerine LaCroix because I am so hot that the idea of putting anything other than water into my body is horrifying. But what are you cool basement dweller, what are you sipping upon?
Well, disappointingly, it's just ice water tonight. But I did have a good time over the weekend. I volunteered at the Finney Ridge Neighborhood Association Summer Beer Fest on Saturday, which a couple friends of mine are members. And I volunteered at the Winter Beer Fest that they do and had a blast, so I decided to do it again. And so got plenty of free beers because of that. And yeah, had a good time. And then... ended up with a free ticket to that Saturday night game and met up with some of you guys later on. A bunch of the Lookout Landing crew was in attendance, so it was a good night. Except for the game itself. We'll talk about that later, I think.
Yes, if any of you are beer connoisseurs or want to talk beers, go ahead and find Eric on Twitter and ask him, because I'm always happily talk beers with you.
Always happy to give my beer hot takes.
So we should probably talk about the White Sox series, but since we haven't done things in so long, we really haven't recorded since, like, kind of the lead up to the All-Star break. I think maybe we could mush that all in together, though, because I feel like the White Sox series was similarly, even though they won the series, I was disappointed primarily because that Saturday game was such a bummer.
Yeah.
Such a bummer. Like, good for Dylan Covey getting his season on track and all, but just the absolute ineptitude of the bat. And then even Sunday, you know, if not, it was basically like White Sox 2, Ryan 6. Like,
yeah. Get that touchdown, Ryan. But miss the extra point, but it's cool. Don't worry about it.
So, although it was inspiring to see the bats kind of wake up. They did that same old thing that they do where they score a bunch in the first and then they're like, okay, we cool. And then they just don't do anything in those middle innings.
It's such an interesting phenomenon. I don't understand it.
No, I mean, theoretically, like the first inning, I don't know if it's just like being aggressive. They are a team that likes to hit the fastballs. Yeah. Maybe if guys are coming out and leading with the fastball and they're able to jump on that and do some damage. But like, and against relievers that I don't think are particularly great shakes either. So let's talk a little bit, like, just where is the panic level? What threat level, what color threat level are we at right now with the team and the offense? Because I feel like, we didn't exactly bound in from the break with like a super blistering offensive performance. You know, it was a couple close wins,
yeah.
A close win, that awful blowout, and okay. Then... you know, saved by the Ryan.
Yeah,
some
it's like
Ryan
it's like...
healing.
Ryan healing? Is that
some
what you said?
Ryan Ewell healing. Healing. Oh, that's terrible. Anyway.
That's very good. Very good.
So what? Where are you at threat level wise?
Threat level. It's like, I think I'm teetering. Like I'm right in the middle, like a yellow orange, But I'm very much teetering on the edge if this Giants series goes poorly, which I don't think it will, but you know, you never know.
But it's scary.
But
it's scary,
a little scary.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like you would love a couple like very convincing wins. And so yeah, I'm right in the middle. I mean, like you said, it was a series win against the crappy, god awful White Sox.
Yes.
But that game on Saturday was just such like a vintage Mariners turd that it would just like was really unpleasant
in front of a really big, really amped up
crowd.
Safeco crowd. Yeah.
Huge Saturday night crowd. Like I was like, whoa, like this place is full. They even opened up the upper right field sections.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, it was rocking. Everybody had their D bobbleheads. They were so excited. And then it was just, I'm worried that we're going to look back at that night specifically and be like, oh no, this was like a canary in the mine shaft for the second half. Like,
yeah,
back to same old Mariners.
Yeah, I sure hope not. I mean, the thing about the Sunday game is that it was like a fairly casual blowout, you know, like all things considered. It might not have felt like that at times, but I mean,
yeah. I mean, they could have done more damage. I think I would have liked to see more throat steppingness, although maybe that's mean. but you know, just they had times. D hit that triple.
How did they not score on that?
How'd they not? I feel like we ask that every time we see someone standing at third base with like less than one out. Like somebody's got to step up and be like, I volunteer to be the official trip. If someone triples ahead of me, I will be the person to drive them in, and I will just, you know, I'll buy that person's beer. Like,
I'll
is he gonna
throw
be
my
you,
bat
Ryan?
At the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like of all things to do, like all you have to do is like make contact and get a guy home. Like,
mm-hmm.
It just doesn't seem like it should be that hard, especially when the guy standing on third base is D. Gordon. Like.
Right.
This is
be home
ridiculous.
In a second.
Yeah. So, I carry some fear. I carry some fear with me. There were an awful lot of White Sox fans at that game, which I found surprising.
I saw quite a few around town too. It's just like, huh? I saw it right over by my house too, which is nowhere near downtown. Saw a guy rocking a Paul Konerko jersey. I was like, huh? Well, yeah, that guy was a huge pain in the ass for years. Cool.
I think, I mean, obviously Seattle is such a city of transplants. Like, of
it
course,
really
guys are always going to, people will always bring out their, you know, was born in Waukesha, Wisconsin. I don't know if that's a place.
Yeah.
Can't wait for the Brewers to come to town. Like, really?
Right.
Okay. And also, I think Seattle is a destination city for a lot of people. They plan their trips to
Absolutely.
Come here because it's super nice. And even as we're complaining about the heat, it's pretty temperate and it still gets cool at night, which you can't say about like 90% of the country.
Yeah, I'm sure Chicagoites are like, Chicagoans? Yeah, Chicagoans. We're like, oh yeah, Seattle in July? Sign me the fuck up.
Yeah, absolutely. So that part is annoying. I am definitely worried about the influx of Giants fans for this series.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be... we were talking in the Maple Grove has a Twitter message group, and some people were saying that the tickets for the bleachers are like $40 on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Club going up on a Tuesday. Like, what? What?
Yeah, I know. Like anytime bleacher seats are over like 35, like I just get heartburn just thinking about it. It's like it's like no, they're bleacher seats. They're supposed to be very affordable.
The whole idea of it is that it's cheap.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's one of the BECU value games yet either, because they know that they can sell some pretty steep tickets to all the people who are either coming up, or B, a lot of you know, the Giants fans in town who are here because they moved up here because San Francisco's too expensive.
Right.
Thanks.
Yeah. Jerks. Now you're bringing that crappy vibe up here with your old sidewalk scooters and stuff. I don't want to go off on a San Francisco rant. Don't get me started. But but in general, the Giants, like as fans, I've had very good interactions with them. And like back, I think it must have been the last time that they came to town was 2012. I think it was.
Oh wow, that long ago.
Maybe there's one in between there. Someone can add us about that. But I remember I was working with this really nice woman who was a Giants fan, her and her husband, and we decided we'd get a work group together to go to the game, and Giants fans were just packed the place. Cause, I mean, this is the 2012 Mariners. This was just like a complete garbage fire team.
And the 2012 Giants, who were the opposite of
future World Series winners, I believe. So yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you know, that was back when we still had high hopes for Dustin Ackley, and it was a different world back then.
How will we tell the children about it? So you'll have to teach your children, your child, about what it was like to hang your hopes on Dustin Ackley and Jesus Montero.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, tough times.
So anyways, yeah, they lost that. Mariners definitely lost that game, and, you know, but most of the Giants fans that I interacted with were very laid back, as you know, as the California.
I will counter that with a story from spring training when I went to the Scottsdale Stadium, which spring training pro tip: Scottsdale is ridiculous. Like the prices are ridiculous.
You've mentioned
I would
that.
Have never gotten in unless I happened to have a family ticket from someone. So. And even at that, like, usually if you're family, you get some pretty nice seats at these ballparks because it's spring training. They were, like, way the heck up on the bleachers, like, the metal bleachers, way, way, way out in left field. And it was just, like, the broiest tech bro faces of broiness that ever broed. Sitting behind me, like, and they were making fun
that
of me
sucks.
For cheering for James Paxton. They were like, "Oh, hey, you must be a real fan." And I'm like, "Yes,
as
evidenced by my cheering." And they were making fun of me because Paxton had kind of a rough outing that day, and just they were dicks. So I hate to use that to like represent an entire fan base, and I'm sure it doesn't, but.
You know,
that
it takes
between,
all kinds.
Well, between that and the fact that, like, just everything there, spring training is usually a little bit of a discount, you know, like.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
You're,
it's
you're
like,
paying $10 to go to a game, generally, and sit out on the berm. The beers are a little bit cheap. It's kind of like going to a AAA game, you know, like the beers are a little bit cheaper. Exactly. Yeah. Everything at that Scottsdale Stadium is full price. I mean, the cheap tickets were like $50. So
it's so funny that, like, of course the San Francisco team goes and bougifies their fucking spring training facility. Like,
it is
of course you did.
Bougie.
Because you can take advantage of the inflated incomes. Like, okay, sure, guys. Like, just completely F over spring training for the rest of us, you know?
Well, and the fact that San Francisco's relatively close as far as one of the. I mean, the Padres fans show out pretty well because they're so close and they train there. And I think, and then there's the Angels wherever they are, and then there's San Francisco. Yeah, I don't think I went to a single Angels game when I was down there.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah, and then you have, you know, like the Reds playing out there in Goodyear or whatever. But yeah, there's a sizable amount of Giants fans that just kind of invade down there.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried Safeco is going to be like Scottsdale North over this series, and I'm real worried about the team. The team is not instilling me with a ton of confidence right now with their offensive performance. And let's talk a little bit about that, because I feel like the pitching is what the pitching is. You know, Wade is Wade, and Marco, thank goodness, kind of came out and got everyone on the right track. Mm-hmm. And really, even Felix came out strong and then had the one rough inning.
Right.
And the team just couldn't give him any kind of run support. So, I mean, that is what it was.
Yeah.
Real
quick about Felix, though. You guys were all sitting together, right? Like, for when he was pitching well.
Right, yes.
Like, were you guys kind of starting to, like, look at each other like, he's kind of cruising here, isn't he? Like,
Felix or Marco? Which one are you?
Felix, sorry.
Because Marco, you know, was carrying a perfecto for a while there.
Into, like, the fifth, right?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even realize what was happening.
Yeah. But yeah, both those games, it was like, this is cool. But and then Felix completely fell apart. But
yeah, he was rolling, and the crowd was into it and everything. And I don't know what went wrong. It's so hard to analyze the game when you are at the games, and I haven't watched it back yet.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, it's no fun to recap a game like that. So our recap of it wasn't exactly an in-depth study of what went wrong.
But it was great. It was great. An awesome job. It was like perfect for it.
Yeah, but absolutely not an in-depth study. So to go back and look at that a little bit, it was just like, it was such a weird, hard turn. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that the rest of the rotation is able to like steady and get us back on track. But honestly, it doesn't matter what the pitching does if the offense can't do anything. And I am scared. I has a scared about what they're putting out there. Cause I looked at it a little bit in July when they were slumping going into the All-Star break, and Seager is good. Seager is starting to really like pick it up, hit the ball harder. He had a couple unlucky lineouts on Sunday that I saw, like hit the ball hard, but just like right at some guys.
Mm-hmm.
Haniger always, of course. And he's like a walk machine suddenly too. I think because people are realizing that they can just not pitch to him and pitch to anyone, literally anyone else.
he was an all-star, right? Maybe we should skip him.
Maybe we should skip him. If we've already got the two outs, like if D and Gene both went down, like, yeah, we can just put him on and go after the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
Who unfortunately is Nelson Cruz, who unfortunately is also scuffling pretty hard.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up earlier when we were talking about the Chicago series. Like, I mean, he made some good contact a few times, that hit on Sunday that practically took off Abreu's glove.
Yeah.
But like in general, though, from before the break and since then in these three games, like I'm getting a little worried about our friend Nelly.
Definitely worried, and a little like, you know, if they could work a deal with him, do you think that would just make him not feel like he has to worry about stuff? Would that if
good question.
I mean, we've all been saying extend Nelson Cruz. Maybe you don't want to do that during this time, but like, can we maybe just make it so it's Wade LeBlanc talked a little bit about how this is the first time he's ever known, this is the earliest he's ever known where he's going to pitch next year.
Right.
You know, since he was like, or since he hit free agency. So I wonder if that would help make Cruz a little more at ease if he could just, and you see too the change that having Gene feel like he had a home.
Oh yeah.
And he's got a solid base here. Like he's mm-hmm. playing so loose and happy and
mm-hmm.
has been such a huge contributor, not just because of his talent, I think, but because it's just easy when you don't have to worry about job security all the time. It is easier to stability. Yeah. And I think especially a game of baseball, a game like baseball, which is a game of failure, right? So
right.
And when you don't have to worry about, like, well, if my batting average goes down, I'm not going to have a job, and I'm going to have to... And especially, I think, what we saw with the off-season market for free agents, and especially older free agents, you know, if I'm Cruz, I'm worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to see them, if this slump persists, I would like to see them do something about this, because they absolutely cannot reach the postseason if Nelson Cruz is at a 99 WRC+. They can't. They can't. They depend on his bat too much.
Yeah. Yeah, they need him mashing taters on the regular.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely down the stretch. And, like, yeah, it's like, I wonder if they would be able to do... I don't know. It's like, I don't know how much this really goes on in baseball or not, but like having kind of a handshake deal more or less.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we're going to extend you, but we're not going to announce it until this date or something like that. I wonder if that's something they'd be willing to do and if that would help kind of put his mind at peace a little bit on, about it, if it really is bothering him.
I just think the front office has shown a lot of creativity. And they've mm-hmm. shown a lot of ability to work with people. And I think, you know, they're obviously not opposed to doing mid-season extensions, because we see DePoto and we see Scott Servais get extended, and the sense of stability that brings. Like, oh, okay, well, this thing that's going to be happening here is going to be happening for a while. So
yeah.
Just why not?
And speaking of our friend Scott Servais, pretty happy about that extension personally. I think it's like that was a really good move.
I agree. I think there's a lot about Scott Servais, and do you remember who it was who said Servais wasn't well liked in the clubhouse? It was a national writer.
Yeah. It wasn't Jeff Passan, was it? No. Heyman? Was it Heyman the one that hinted at it?
I think it was Heyman. I think you're right. Yeah, it was Heyman. It was just such a weird anecdote to throw in there, because
right.
I just don't feel like that is the case. I mean, it's not the case from what I've observed in or out of the clubhouse. And, you know, just as like kind of a little anecdote about Scott Servais, you know, Braden Bishop, one of our top prospects, went down.
Yes.
He has a broken ulna bone after he got hit by a pitch in AA this year, or this past week. I think it was mm-hmm. on Thursday. Season over. He is devastated, obviously. He was really hoping to be a September call-up, for sure. And Scott Servais, when he found out about it, like... messaged Braden, and Braden's having his surgery here in Seattle. Dr. Khalifa is going to do it. Khalifan, I think is it. Khalifa is another dude. That's Wiz Khalifa.
Yes.
Yeah, good job, Kate. Dr. Khalifan is going to do it. So he's going to be here in Seattle, and Scott Servais, like, reached out and was like, hey, come by the stadium. Like, come see me. Let me talk to you. And just like that, it seems like such a small thing, or maybe to some people it seems like something, well, of course you should do that. Like, you know who this person is. He was in your clubhouse in spring training. You should care.
Yeah.
But baseball is just, it's an endless parade of dudes and faces.
Yeah.
And I think that really speaks to Servais's ability to, like, see his players as people and attend to their needs, like, off the baseball field too. So.
That is a very sweet thing. And like a very, like... dadly move of him, I guess.
Oh yes, he's such a dad.
Yeah. So that's very heartwarming to hear. I'm glad that he did that.
Oh, did you see the managerial ranking story at Fangraphs?
Mm-mm.
Jeff Sullivan does this every year. It's the community ratings of managers, and I would, you know, obviously because it's Sullivan, it's very good. Everyone should go read it. But it was interesting to me to see, like, the perception of Scott Servais, like, a lot of people don't have an opinion on him. He ranked very high in the no opinion. And he also ranked pretty highly in people not having much of a changed opinion about him. His rankings from year to year, his approval rates, ratings consistent. Have been pretty steady, because I think that he's just like a steady force. People don't think he's especially bad. They don't think he's especially good. Like, he's just, and honestly, I kind of wonder, there's a lot, I've thought a lot about education and pedagogy and teaching and the way that these Mariners seem better at maybe some of their predecessors that at teaching. And I think part of that comes from putting education professionals in charge, or people who have a teaching background, or people who really care about teaching, which I would count Scott Servais as one of those people.
Yeah.
And
he seems to really let the team, and especially like the team leaders, kind of do their thing. And like, it's like it's kind of the whole like leading from behind kind of thing.
Yes.
And like he lets them kind of have sway over things, and like make decisions, or empowers them to make decisions when they should be. And isn't like an overpowering presence in the clubhouse, which, you know, we've had all kinds of managers over the years for the Mariners, you know, the fiery kinds like Eric Wedge or Lloyd McClendon, to, you know, Riggleman, and people who are very, very much more subdued, kind of like how Scott is. But I really think that, you know, I'm much more in favor of a managerial approach like his, because he makes the right decisions when he needs to, but otherwise it seems like he's kind of a little more hands off. So it doesn't have like your manager like shouldn't be winning or losing games for you, right? Like, they should just be there to steer the ship.
And I don't think they should be the loudest voice in the room necessarily. Yeah. Like, that's not what leadership is.
And
to bring it back to like pedagogy a little, you know, there's a model of teaching that's called Sage on the Stage, where you have like one person, teacher standing up at the front of the classroom and like imparting knowledge, and all the students sitting there and dutifully taking notes. And that is something that was much more, you see it a lot in higher education, obviously, still, but it was very much the way that education was done in this country for the greater part of our history, because that was seen as good education. That's the teacher's job, is they like, they are the repository of knowledge, and they just kind of like, I remember having a teacher in college who told us that all he wanted us to do on tests was to, quote, back up our dump trucks to the paper and just basically spit back everything he'd been saying. So that is totally out of fashion now. But, you know, for a lot of people, I think that that's performative. Like, it looks like you're doing something. Whereas really, the best kind of teaching is, the best kind of teacher is the teacher that you can't see when you walk into a classroom, because the students are the ones at the forefront. The students are the ones doing the learning. Like, they're working, and the teacher is there supporting. And I feel like that's a move that the Mariners overall are kind of going to under Andy McKay with leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different. Like, it's different than Gabe Kapler sitting out there in his fedora or whatever, you know, and kind of making it all about him. And I think that a lot of people respond to that because they're like, oh, this is a strong leader to rally around. And I think that's why a lot of people like Lloyd, because Lloyd is still a very beloved manager in the Mariners' history. Because Lloyd did things, you know, it's like that meme, like the poke with a stick meme, do something. Like, Lloyd actually went out there and did things.
He did. I liked Lloyd. There was
a performance aspect to that.
Yeah, there was hat throwing. There was dirt kicking. You know, he was much more like a Lupinella
finger
type.
Pointing. Yeah, very Lupinella, like very demons. And you were like, well, he's doing something. He's sticking up for his players. Like,
yeah.
Or, you know, he'd get annoyed at reporters and kind of mouth off. And Service is much, much more like kind of tongue in cheek. Service is still sassy.
Oh yeah, he throws in that Midwestern shade every once in a while if he 100%. Doesn't like a question. Where like they just kind of they diss you in the nicest possible way.
Yeah, like this is the difference. What was the one that he responded to with the, like this is the difference between where you sit and where I sit.
Yeah,
like that was some strong Midwestern dad shade. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was like practically dropping the F-bomb. I mean.
In Midwest terms. Yeah, so I think that they're on the right path with service and with continually bringing in these kinds of guys who fit the overall character or tone of the organization. Mm-hmm. And to the point where so if you were not at the ballpark on Saturday for Baseball Prospectus night, one, naughty you should have come. Could have seen me sit uncomfortably in my and sweat in a panel and talk about my love of Edgar Martinez. But Jerry came on first, and it was great because Jerry was scheduled to do like 20 minutes. And of course, Jerry being Jerry and loving to hear himself talk, he went for like 40. I think it was 40 minutes that he was just like, answered all kinds of questions, told some really good stories. It was a light filter Jerry day. At one point, he used the word turds, which I had a real out-of-body experience about bringing in free agents. Actually, this is on topic with, like, talking about how they've tried to do scouting on people. Like, they scout, you know, not just on the field, but off the field, and how they've tried to bring in guys who... They've tried to bring in guys via free agency and trades who they think are going to be their personalities will be a boon to the clubhouse as well. And he said, and we've had some good ones and we've had some turds. And just this like almost Danny like Valencia. Hunger Games-esque image of Danny Valencia like shot up in front of my face. Who knows? I mean, that's what I think of when I think of a turd. It's like, you know, a very entertaining
by all
turd,
accounts. Yeah.
Kind of a turd. So I thought that was interesting. But he told a good story about back on the topic of leadership, about how in the Dominican they brought in an MLB vet to talk to the players, and the MLB vet stood up there and said, "What being a leader means, leadership is winning." And a 16-year-old kid stood up and said, "No, that's wrong. Leadership isn't winning. Leadership is about helping everyone else be great," or something like that. Which, I want to know who that kid was, and I want to bake him cookies. Right? 16. Yeah. Imagine being 16 and having just the guts and feeling like you've learned so well that you are willing to challenge like an MLB experienced player on that.
Yeah.
Kind of, but that's the kind of work that they're doing with like pushing these overall initiatives of what it means to be a good teammate, what it means to be a leader. And I think we're going to start to see that trickle up as prospects move up through the organization. Maybe this is a good time to do one of our questions.
Yeah.
We got a question. Do you have them handy?
Yes.
Okay. Can you read the one about the prospect?
Yes. All right. So this question is from Megan Corcoran, at Megan Corcoran 91. Yes, she's an active Mariners Twitter participant. She says, who do you think is the most underappreciated Mariners prospect? Pick one that you think should be getting more attention than they are.
I love them all. Who do I pick?
No, you do.
Who do I pick? I mean, honestly, I could pick like one by every level. I think at AAA... Ian Miller.
Yeah, let's go through each level.
Yeah, Ian Miller is my pick for AAA. I think he does
I would definitely
any attention. But you know, especially with Bishop.
Remember we talked to him last season on this podcast. That was one of the few podcasts that I've done. And he was very funny. He was very personable.
He's hilarious. Yeah. But he has a skill set that I think could help them out as far as speed on the base paths.
True.
And he'll be a good candidate to be looked at for a September call-up, although they keep just calling up Andreoli instead, which is right. Great. I love macaroni ravioli. I like Andreoli. But I'd love to see Miller get a shot. Double A, I'm going to go with Chris Mariscal, who still strikes out too much, but he's just always kind of doing something positive. That Arkansas lineup, he hits like fifth or sixth usually, and he can really, he's a good infielder, and he can get stuff done on the base paths as well, and he has a little bit of power, and usually has a good at bat. So I like Mariscal. No one talks about Mariscal. We traded my favorite pitcher, Tommy Romero, which continues to make me sad at the A level. Keegan McGovern, who was a 2018 draftee, is tearing up Clinton right now. So he is really exciting. Yes. Nick Zamorelli at High A Modesto is one of my favorites there. He had better numbers than Kyle Lewis, actually. Got a lot of power. And just is a pretty cool kid too. And who do I like who we just drafted who's down? Oh, I like this kid Max Roberts, who is a JUCO pitcher, lefty command guy who it pitches for Everett right now, and I think he's gonna be really good. Those are my picks.
Nice. Those are good picks. But speaking of other JUCO pitchers, our boy JT Salter.
JT!
I want to talk about him, although I'm not sure if he's underrated yet, as he hasn't really seen much action yet, I believe. Is he with the...
He's still with Modesto. I thought it was going to be like a one-day, like a spot thing call-up, but he appears to be in the Modesto bullpen now.
Nice. Well, I'm excited about him just because he's gigantic, and I love large pitchers, and large baseball players in general are just a lot of fun. And
I think we need to be specific about how gigantic he is. Like,
yeah, if you want to track down JT Salter's Instagram, it's definitely a good follow and a good look, because there's several pictures of him with like his friends like hanging out. And he's usually standing either next to them or behind them. And these are all like, you know, probably 6'2", normal size bros. And he just fucking towers over them like like an extra foot. And just the width of his body is he's just large and wide.
I believe he's like 6'8" and 300, I think is what I saw on him. He might be closer to 6'7". 6'8" might be an exaggeration, but he is a large, large lad.
Or large adult reliever.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of... And he is also from West Alabama. Was that the school he went to?
Yeah.
And he just kind of tweets or types like he talks, which you can just get such a strong sense of his Southern accent. You was my best friend. Oh, my God. He's a character.
Super earnest.
Very, very earnest. Very grateful to be playing baseball. Like, you love those guys who are kind of fringy and just love baseball more than anything else.
Yep. Has pictures of his very nice girlfriend on Easter. He's wearing his...
Who comes
his,
up approximately to his knees. Just...
Just tiny. And like, and he's wearing his Easter-colored...
Polo.
Under Armour polo, you know? So it's very, very, very appropriate, and he's definitely the prospect that I'm keeping my eye on, because I just think he has a lot of potential, just pitching wise, but also just general baseball entertainment wise. I think he could
be a fun absolutely. He's going to be fun to track. That's the whole fun of following prospects and kind of keeping tabs on them, is just like to watch them move through the system. And I, too, am very excited to see our large lad continue to move up.
Should we do another Twitter question?
Yeah, let's do, while we're at it, let's do some questions.
Okay.
Get this thing in around an hour tonight, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'll read this one. This is from Riley K at it's Riley Shia, something like that is his handle or her handle.
Yeah, let's go with that.
This person asks, what would you like Daniel Vogelbach's future to be, and how would this future play into the M's current plans? So speaking of large lads, I've been emotionally preparing myself for the Mariners to possibly trade Vogelbach here before the deadline, because I feel like it's definitely in the realm of possibility. I would be very sad if that happens, but also depending on what the return is, you know, it seems like it could work out at least for this season's plans. But man, it's frustrating because, you know, when they acquired him, they gave up a very, very, I mean, I don't want to bring up sore subject for you, Kate, but
no,
but,
it's,
you
know, okay, it's okay.
Gave just up a very valuable reliever
slash swingman, slash old friend. Starter.
Yeah, slash perhaps starter, good old MIMO, Mike Montgomery. Did you say MIMO or MIMO?
I always said MIMO, but...
MIMO? Yeah, that makes more sense since that's Mike. Anyways. that we gave up Mike Montgomery for our potential next DH, because everybody has known for years that Vogelbach's true path in MLB was to be an American League designated hitter. They're just... didn't seem, even from early on, that it was ever going to work out for him in the field. And I respect him wholeheartedly for continuing to try, and I think that they should, just so he's at least able to play some first base when they need him to.
He did not look terrible there in the game on Saturday or whatever it was.
That's true, yeah. He made that good flip early mm-hmm. on, right?
And he had a couple yeah. nice plays.
That's good, but you know, long term wise, it's kind of, you feel like they definitely acquired him to be Cruz's replacement, possibly, you know, it might have been even maybe this year or definitely next year, but as we've seen, Cruz continue to just not age or not give in to the typical aging curve of most sluggers. You know, it's like, well, we got this guy who could potentially be the next DH, but we just don't need him yet because Cruz is still mashing.
Also, I love the idea that Jerry wants to make the team younger and more athletic, but like, if there's mm-hmm. a spot where you don't need to be younger and more athletic, it's definitely DH. Like, just go ahead yeah. and buy whoever is on the market who is, you know, going to be your big power bat and pay for that semi-guaranteed source of power, although DH has, of course, been falling off. I think Cruz might be the only valuable DH out there. But
yeah, he's like the last of his kind in a lot of ways. It's
our beautiful unicorn, Nelson Cruz.
Yeah, it's been interesting how DH has changed, like, over the last 10 seasons or so. You know, like, guys like Adam Dunn and... what was that guy, Matt Stairs, like the like typical and like even like Paul Konerko, I guess, I think he was a DH most often towards the end of his career.
Are you trying to set a record for how many times we mentioned Paul Konerko on this podcast tonight?
I wholeheartedly apologize for that, because I fucking hated that dude.
Just interesting. We've gone like many, many podcasts where Paul Konerko's name has not been mentioned, and suddenly here
Eric
he is
Sanford,
twice.
Paul Konerko super fan.
The Paul Konerko cluster here on the podcast tonight. Anyway, sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, you know, players like of his ilk, you know, and like Nelson Cruz has always has been over the course of his career kind of slightly more athletic than that, but he's always been a liability in the outfield pretty much. World Series game. and so
it's harsh, know, Eric, that's harsh.
I know. I instantly regretted bringing that up. That's bad karma. I'm sorry, Nelson. You're the man. I love you. Anyways, but what was I saying? I got distracted
DHs,
by
this. DHs. They're the not image. Good now. Nelson is yeah. the only good one.
Yes, Nelson
Making
is the only good
one. Making it super
weird
that you would trade for like a 25-year-old DH.
Yeah, but you're like trying to like keep that player profile alive by force.
We know that Jerry loves baseball history, but I feel like this is taking things a little too far.
True. Yeah. So, okay, let's see, we didn't really answer the question. So, what will Vogelbach's future be? Like I said, I think it's somewhat likely he might get traded or as part of a trade because, I mean, he honestly doesn't probably have that much value here. There's been talk of the Royals possibly being an option, and I can absolutely like see that happening and him going on to hit a hell of a lot of home runs
Although
for the
now the
Royals for
Royals
the
want
next few
Ryan
years.
Healy, apparently, which is weird. That's the
That is
latest
weird.
trade rumors. They're
Right.
checking in on Ryan Healy, which seems weird to me, and I wonder if that's like, as the Mariners have maybe been checking in on their players, somebody said, "Well, how about that Ryan Healy?" And
Maybe Jerry can trick Dayton Moore into he's like, hey, you want both? You want Vogelbach and Healy? Why not both?
get a twofer special.
Yeah.
Use the savings to re-sign Nelson Cruz and take on Danny Duffy in his terrible contract. I'm okay
Right.
with that.
Yeah.
All
Is he
lefty
healthy?
rotation.
Has Duffy been healthy this season? Because he's been
I
hurt a
think
lot, right?
he's had some yeah, he's having a little bit of a down year, but it's so his numbers are so just this particular year are so outside of his they're so drastically different from his other numbers that it's hard to see this as anything other than like just a bad year.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's and I haven't looked carefully, but I don't think that there's been a significant downtick in his velocity or stuff or anything, so.
Yeah. So to answer the question for Vogelbach, it's like I could see that if things don't work out with Cruz, if they don't extend him for some reason, then giving Vogelbach a season's worth of bats would certainly be interesting, and I'm not against that per se. It doesn't seem like that's the most likely thing that's going to happen. So yeah, it's unfortunate because they've sunk a lot of time into Vogelbach, but it doesn't really seem right now that it's all that likely that he's going to find major league success with the Mariners.
I really thought that after he had that great spring that this was going to be it for him. He was going to
I
need to come
know.
in.
Yeah, that's right. He was.
That was the thing I was wrongest about this off season. I really
Yeah,
thought that.
he was the player I picked for the hits for ALS thing for Brayden Bishop because I was like, it was honestly like, I'll pick Vogelbach just because everybody's so down on him. Maybe it'll be a boost of confidence and like, wow, then
I
he
know, and
got
then you wound up
25 hits.
having to shell out a fair
Yeah,
amount.
I was like, okay, that's fine, that's fair, I don't mind. It's a good cause, but I was like, damn, Daniel.
Damn, Daniel. Yes,
Man,
that was
we're doing lots of memes tonight. Lots of meme references.
lots of
Gotti would be proud.
old memes though. He
Yeah,
would
that's
not.
true.
He would say that our meme usage is pretty washed. Our memes are
Probably.
not dank. They are whatever the opposite of dank is.
Is Damn Daniel more than 2 years old at this point? I guess it is.
Yes, yes it is.
Wow.
Yes, yeah.
That kid's like almost done with college now.
Oh God, don't say that. Okay. I think the best thing for Vogelbach would be for them to trade him because even if they have a space for him, even if he's like lying in wait for Cruz or whatever, I'd hope that he might go to Tampa Bay because he
That'd be perfect.
loves, yeah, that's his home. Like that's he would love to play. He would love to be closer to his family. He's a big family guy. Like at the time, Tampa Bay had a hole at first. Now I think they're going with Jake Bowers, who is Bauer Power. He's pretty good. I don't think he's a great defensive first. I mean, why not? They could have him one as DH, one as first base. Like you've still got space, Rays. Take him. Take him and give us Chris Archer. No, that will never happen. But I was very
As much
surprised.
as we want
Right. I was surprised that they did a deal and didn't send Vogelbach in some way or other, which makes me wonder, because the Rays would have been such a great landing place for him, it does make me wonder if he has any kind of trade value if anyone else wants him either. But I would love to for him to go someplace where he could just get regular at bats and finally kind of answer the question, is Daniel Vogelbach a major league player or not? Because I don't think he's going to get a chance here. Yep.
Yeah. And it's like, I would love to see it too, as much as it would hurt to see him do it for another team after they've sunk so much time into it. At the same time, I'd be like, you know, good for you, man. Like, I'm proud of you.
I think all of us at this point would be excited for Vogelbach to be able to. I mean, he's so likable. He's extremely endearing. He changed his walk-up music, I noticed, on Saturday. He's now walking up to D. Gordon's Brothers songs.
It's so cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like little nods like that. Like, he's very beloved by his teammates, and it just kind of stinks. Yep. I guess when they activate Paxton, he'll be sent down again, which sucks. Like, but I don't see any other way that they can... I don't think they have anyone extra in the bullpen that they could send down.
Yeah, they already sent down Andrioli, right?
Yeah, they sent him down in exchange for... no, they sent Freitas down. Is Andrioli... No.
I can't remember if they... No, maybe
Andrioli, I think Andrioli was in that first... I know, it's so much... I think that Andrioli was in that first batch. When they did all the initial moves, like before the Zunino move. I thought that was it.
Speaking of our friend David Freitas, hashtag cool dad, the big news of the day, at least in the LL Slack, was definitely the, his wife posting
the Shiggy challenge, which I did not know the Shiggy challenge. I didn't know what a Shiggy challenge was. I had to.
Oh, good. You had to Google it too? Yes. Oh, I did as well. 100%. Yes.
We're olds.
High five, fellow old. Yes. It's like, I need to ask some of our youngsters. I'm like, because it seems like I looked him up and I'm like, oh, did he come from Vine or something? You know, RIP Vine. I was a big fan of that app. That was a lot of fun. It seems like he's very much in that like realm of young internet stars that like just kind of blew up overnight, and just because they made some funny videos, and he's dancing to that Drake song, and which is now stuck in my head hopelessly. And remember Saturday night at the game, they did a Shiggy challenge between innings.
I did like, not realize that that's what is that the In My Feelings or whatever.
Ugh. Yes.
Is that the song?
Yeah, that's the song, and then they showed a clip of the Russell Wilson and Sierra.
Oh, that was terrible.
Version.
That was just terrible. Just terrible. I didn't get that. I resented that.
That was strictly for the kids.
I guess. I was like, what is this?
Yeah, it's funny. It's kind of, man, Mariners, like they stay current on internet shit, man. It's impressive.
Wow. They are extremely online. They are one of the more onlines of the various teams. The Yankees might have more followers, but the Mariners are much more online.
Yeah, Yankees are stuck in Internet 2.0.
Yeah. The Yankees still use Facebook.
Absolutely.
100%. They forward emails with like forward 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 forward.
Check out this one great trick. okay, so should we do any more questions?
Yeah,
we haven't talked about the All-Star game at all. Should we talk about that?
Oh, we can talk about the All-Star game. Did we get any questions relating to the All-Star game?
No.
I feel like it was so... I mean, it was quick, and then it was over.
Yeah. I didn't even get to watch hardly any of it, because I work late on Tuesdays, and... but was listening to the radio on my way home on the bus, or to the radio feed, which is always a trip for All-Star games, because you're like, who are these guys? Okay. So I heard Segura's awesome three-run homer, and was like fist pumping on the bus. Like, fuck yeah. Like that's why he's a goddamn All-Star. Like, hell yeah. That was such a triumphant moment. And then it was like he's a shoo-in for MVP, and then Diaz got in the game, and he was like, yes, and then I was like, no,
yeah,
damn it.
I'm a little worried that's like a short metaphor for the Mariners 2018 season, like this incredible lift followed by this huge crushing.
I know.
I'm in a bad place tonight, because I made the mistake of checking the A's game. Which I knew they would crush the Rangers, but I was kind of hoping the Rangers would, you know, at least show a little bit of life. And the A's are just, it's really terrifying to realize that that lead for the wild card could just be gone, like, by the end of this series. It could be gone.
It's scary.
It's really scary, and you should be scared. Like,
yeah.
And the A's are making moves too. You know, they just made a trade for
Familia,
which, let's all remember that that is a okay. For every,
he got in trouble for DV.
Yes, he is a DV case. So yes. I just want to say, like,
not great.
I have one of the things that I've been doing, because it's complicated for me. When I watch a guy pitch, and I like, that's somebody who hurt a woman in his life, and I can't. Mm-hmm. And I would like to not participate in it, but it's my job to watch these games, so.
Right.
It's a weird feeling, and I found that a good way to offset that feeling is to donate. And I stole this idea from Pinstripe Alley, from our one of our partner SB Nation sites, who had to kind of deal with Chapman coming back and feeling not great about that, and so they made a donation for every save he got, or I think every strikeout, a small donation to a local women's shelter. I have been doing a donation to Nenard's Bands Foundation, which supports single family or single parent families. Often DV is a case or is a factor in that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I'm going to keep in mind, and I'm going to try to do if and when he plays against the Mariners, and I recommend everybody check out, no matter where you are on this, check out DenardSpanFoundation.org, because they do great work, and they're trying to get to their July goal of 10,000 to buy a family a car, and I think they're really close. They're just a few hundred dollars off, so it would be amazing if we could help kind of push them over the top. And especially taking something that's kind of icky like this and turning it into something that's good, I think is.
Yeah, it's really gross when stuff like that happens, because we all turn to baseball as a fun hobby, as a fun escape.
Right.
Even though the teams may drive us crazy sometimes, it's supposed to be a fun thing, and to be reminded of like the ugliness of domestic violence and or other types of assault, like while you're trying to just unwind and watch a baseball game, it causes such cognitive dissonance, which is why I can no longer watch the NFL as well. It's just like, man, damn it, like why is this like this?
Yeah.
So I think that's a wonderful idea and an awesome gesture to donate like that when players like that have to sit through that.
It's also something that's on my mind right now, because I, along with several other members of the Lookout Landing team, ran the Refuse to Abuse 5K at Safeco this past weekend. Saturday, actually the
very
same
awesome.
Day as the BP event. Yeah, very awesome. I am still so sore. I am in such bad shape. I'm such a wimp.
It's a lot of stairs, though, right?
Oh, my gosh.
You gotta go up and around the stadium.
It made it really hard to go back to Safeco on Saturday night. And then again on Sunday, because my body was like, what are you doing? We
so
did this.
Stop it.
Yeah. We've been up to the 300 level already. Why? that part was rough, but it was very cool to do. Scott Service was there. Kind of beforehand, shaking hands
cool.
and with his family. Haniger's wife was there. I saw her. And usually I've heard that in the past there have been like rehabbing players there. I did not see any of them, but it was cool to see Service and see some of the player wives come out. And
that's awesome.
Support.
That's another
the
example. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, that's another example of just how the Mariners are pure and awesome in a lot of ways, because I mean, not only is the Refuse to Abuse campaign that was one of the first in like professional sports to focus on DV specifically, and they someone in the front office had the presence of mind to do the have this Refuse to Abuse 5K on the same day as D. Gordon's bobblehead night, which maybe it wasn't on purpose, but I think it probably was, given D. Gordon's background with his foundation, mm-hmm. that also, because of his experiences growing up and the death of his mother at the hands of an ex-boyfriend, having to deal with that, he runs a foundation that helps out families that have been through similar situations. So I feel like that was a really cool synergy of causes, and that's something that the Mariners have excelled at for years, for decades now, which is just, it's just an added bonus. I feel like it's like the Mariners, you know, haven't had a lot of success on the field, but they do a lot of things right, like as an organization.
Absolutely.
Historically. So that's a nice thing.
And it is, I mean, it's really satisfying to me to know that most likely, even if he had been available or if they had wanted to make that trade, I don't think they would have made the trade for Familia.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of helps me as a fan. Feel like I'm supporting a team that's in line with my values. So I know it's not important to everyone. Some people say, well, the game's the game and whatever. But if you are, again, somebody who has had your life affected by that in some way, or maybe just somebody mm-hmm. who's sensitive to those things, it does matter. And
it detracts from the enjoyment of the game.
It means a lot to me. So kudos on the Mariners. And also, you can go online. Isabel is going to write up a little brief thing about our experience doing that, and there will be a link to donating to the Washington State Domestic Violence Coalition if you want to get involved on that front too. All right, enough with the charity GoFundMe tin cup part of the podcast. Let's go back and talk about some more baseball. I feel like all the time I'm like, donate to this, but it's just that we have so many guys who have great charity work, and it's really cool to support them. And I know that for Denard's Man, we're hopefully looking at maybe getting to talk to him or his wife about the work that they're doing. I know, I'm crossing my fingers this comes through, because they've been so grateful for the support that the Lookout Landing community has given, which means you guys, anyone who donated, thank you. Just because it's so hard for him in all of a sudden being traded and having to leave kind of not just his home, but also where his foundation is, and you know, try to get things started up again and meet these summer goals. So just the support that we've gotten from people has been awesome. Thank you for that. Okay, off soapbox.
Side note about Denard, though. He is a hashtag swole dad. If you went to or watched the Turn Ahead the Clock night game, he went full sleeveless, and it was impressive.
I
was like, damn, dude. Like, okay, we see you now.
I see you, Denard. Anthony May took a really good picture of Denard, too, that's been circulating. Did you see that one?
No, I haven't seen that. Did they capture him? Because when they announced him, when he came out on the field, he actually flexed. I was at the game, so like, and I was sitting in the left field bleachers, so I saw it happen right in front of me, and I was like, oh my god! I was like, instantly became a Denard super fan if I wasn't already.
I didn't see that. I'll have to go back and see. Maybe the cameras caught that.
Yeah, maybe it was. It might not have been on TV yet because it's like when they announced them when they're coming out of the dugout kind of thing.
Right. I love all the little all the little moments that maybe not everything gets caught. Mm-hmm. Like Gene running out to the outfield to be part of the outfield hug after Sunday's game.
That's awesome.
Which I've never seen him do before. And just he wanted a little extra hug.
Want to get in on it, you know.
Do we have any other questions that we should?
Yeah, we could. We got. There's a fun one here that we could.
Oh
end
yes,
on,
fun. Unless, fun is good.
Do you have any other topics we want to hit before we end with a fun question?
We're coming in at a nice time. One more question, and that'll be good.
Okay, cool. All right, this is from Eric Wen at NGuy. He asks, other than Felix slash Ichiro, which current or former Mariner could have been the best two-way player? Current or former Mariner. So that gives us a lot of people to choose from.
Yeah.
I
Whew.
don't know. I honestly don't know if Felix, even in his younger days, would have been that good of a two-way player.
I can see Felix taking
Grand
a lot of
Slam notwithstanding.
wild hacks in the box.
Yeah. That Grand Slam that he hit off Santana is still like one of the craziest, like he like literally like closed his eyes and swung and just happened to just crush it. Like it was just like, what the hell? Like it's amazing. It will forever live in Mariners lore, you know. But yeah, let's see, who else? Two-way player
I might
besides
say
Ichiro.
current, I think Marco Gonzalez is a
Oh
solid. I mean, he won the John Olerud Award given to the best two-way player in college, so
yeah. Right. Yeah,
I
he
think
can mash, supposedly.
Marco can hit. Like, I mean,
Yeah.
we're not talking like Ohtani levels or anything
No.
on either extreme, but Marco is, I think, would be a very solid little batter. I've been petitioning for Marco to pinch hit as the
Minor
offense
leaguers.
has slumped harder and harder and harder. Like, yeah, let's show
Yeah.
them all up. Let's put the pitcher in there and
See what happens.
more as like a message to everybody else to get their acts together, but
Yeah, it was a shame that he did not pitch Coors Field and have the chance to hit
that
there.
is a real bummer. And also because I think a lot of Colorado fans, Marco is one of their great pride, and it's hard to be a pitching prospect and come out of Colorado. Like, it's hard to pitch in Colorado, period. So I think
Wait,
Marco is very much a favorite son. What?
he came from the Rockies? I thought
No, he was
just the
born in
Cardinals.
Colorado, so he grew up and
Oh,
went to
didn't
high
know
school
that.
and everything, and was kind of, I can't remember if he was a Gatorade Player of the Year there or not, but he was a very high profile Colorado player up through high school before he went to Gonzaga. So
Go
yeah, go Zags.
Zags.
Still a beloved son of the Rocky Mountain State, for
Yes.
sure.
Let's see, other players. So what comes to mind is Munenori Kawasaki. I feel like he probably could have thrown some. I think he has made some pitching appearances over the course of his crazy little MLB career. Let's see, who else? Another current one. Do you want? I wonder if has D. Gordon ever pitched at any level?
I don't think so.
Probably not. Yeah.
I mean, other than like mop up dude, I think that this question you got to go with like somebody who is mostly, if you're trying to get to best, right? Like, you've got to go with someone who's primarily a pitcher and
That's
like
true.
also can sort of swing a bat. So I think that just from like maybe past in, I'm trying to think of like a very big power pitcher that we've had who would. In the recent past, I wonder if Archimedes Caminero could have ever been taught to swing a bat, because he is just, that's how Felix hit his grand slam. Like, he's just, he
Right.
had so much upper
Just
body strength,
large.
and he just kind of flicked the bat and got it in the right direction. So,
I could definitely see that, as well as Thiago Vieira.
Thiago, yeah.
Thiago, that's how you say it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? He's with the White Sox, so
Yeah.
anything can happen still. But
Did he
yeah.
make an appearance at all, or is he with the Major League team now?
No, he's in AAA. He was in the
Oh,
AAA
okay.
All-Star game this year though, so yay,
Ooh, good for him.
Thiago. Yeah,
Nice.
I think if I just had to sort of randomly pick someone, I would try to pick like a big power pitcher that could, like Felix, like just occasionally rope one. But I think Marco would be my choice for most likely to like actually have a decent batting average. It's interesting, Marco and Mike Leake, like both of them, I think were pretty decent hitters for pitchers, but
You could go back and look at Randy Johnson's handful of at bats he had over
just
the
feel like I feel like the bat would fly out of his hand. Like, children would lose eyes. I don't, that
Yeah,
doesn't feel
somebody's gonna get
safe.
hurt.
That doesn't feel safe.
Or what about Chris Bosio? He of the formerly fired from the Tigers,
Yeah,
or recently fired.
he was like a stocky dude. I wonder, I feel like Freddie Garcia was just a good athlete.
Oh yeah.
And I think good athletes have a good, like, actually I was talking about this with a friend the other day, the difference between baseball player and athlete. So like athlete is Dee Gordon is an athlete. Like you could put him in any of the major sports and be like, which one does he play? Baseball yeah. player is Dan Vogelbach, right? Like
DeHoli.
Yes, DeHoli is a baseball player. So yes. I think the answer to this question might start with looking at someone who is an athlete more than a baseball player. So Freddy True. Garcia jumps out into my mind because I remember him as being elegant on the mound, but I mean, I was also like, what, 12, 13 and very easily impressed. So.
No, he was. Yeah, he was very agile.
All right. Is that yeah. it then?
I guess that's it. There's one other question from William Lofton. He just says, can you please make the Rangers play better? Asking for a concerned and frustrated fan base.
Yeah.
No, sorry. No, we cannot. Sorry. I wish I could. But, you know, the Rangers, who, you know, have still never won a World Series and are currently they're just, you know, they're digging themselves a little hole down in the cellar and they're not doing us any favors.
Nope, they sure aren't.
F them.
Which is stinky. That's stinky useless. And they're going to send off all their useful players, hopefully out of the division and away from, and not just out of the division, but possibly out of the AL entirely. I think Shinsu Chu is a trade target for people who are looking right. for a big bat. I think I've read maybe the Phillies are possibly interested in him.
Hmm. That'd be a good landing.
Cole Hamels is maybe the Brewers' possible fit there, since Brett Suter now has to have Tommy John, which is a huge bummer for the Brewers. And I was all ready to like bandwagon the Brewers, so hopefully mm-hmm. they get it together. But yeah, it doesn't. Yeah. I don't see any trade fits for the Mariners from Texas, which is also good because like maybe they won't be sending off people. Oh, they have bullpen pieces. They have useful bullpen pieces. So there's Keone Kella, Leclerc, although he's young, I think. I don't think they'll get rid of him. Diekman, obviously, who I would love to have just because he is also a Crohn's colitis guy, survivor. And I have a personal, like a vested interest in seeing him succeed. Gotcha. Have that in my family, so any of those guys possible, but I also don't want to give prospects to Texas and have our pros, although their system is pretty poor, so I feel like that.
But I mean, I'm sure they can't be as poor as the worst farm system in all of the
in all the land. Major leagues anywhere of baseball, ever. Yes,
which is the Mariners, sure, obviously, because we've had that rammed down our throat all off season and currently all the time, so. Can't be any worse than us.
I think the Rangers are going to be utterly useless to us.
Yeah.
So, thanks for nothing, jerks. And I hope you step on a Lego. I don't know. Yeah. Maybe they'll pull it together. You never know. Sometimes the baseball's weird and sometimes they come up with surprising performances, but it's definitely not a very good trade deadline audition for Hamels tonight, because he got shelled pretty hard. So
maybe they'll beat the Astros a few times out of spite.
I'm sure. Okay. Let's. We're just asking for things now. Okay.
Yeah.
Then fine. I want Aaron Judge to decide he doesn't like baseball anymore and move to Mongolia to live in a hut and make yak's milk ice cream. Okay? That's what we can do. If we can just ask for stuff, I've got a list. Oh, man. Well, thank you so much for stepping into John's overly large and probably untied shoes tonight. And I'm sorry that we haven't been as regular with the podcast, but we will get back on track and hopefully have some more good things to talk about, because the team started doing poorly when we stopped podcasting. You know what? It is this is, oh gosh, guys, this is our fault. Our bad.
We blew it.
It's all on us. Okay, back on track now, and
all good
with,
now.
With good things to talk about next time we talk to you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sending in questions for those of you who did, and we will talk to you next time. Get out the way, get out the way, get out the way, yeah, yeah. Get out the way, get the fuck up out my way, yeah, yeah. You.